prayer and fasting. And I told you that we were going to do a not a real tightly connected series, but we were going to spend a few Sunday nights getting ready for next Sunday night's service on anointing. And so last night we talked about the prayer and fasting and waiting for the anointing. Tonight we're going to talk about being baptized in water. Getting ready for the anointing. Yes, I know I didn't say baptized. I didn't mean to. I want to baptize people in water. Next week we're going to baptize in oil. That word baptized means to cover, submerse. We're going to cover next week with the anointing. And so as I begin to look at this, I begin to see the preparation that comes with water baptism, getting us ready for the anointing. Now, I've got a lot of my kids have already got their notebooks out, and they've asked me what the word is this week. The word this week is water. What is he talking about? Our kids and many of the adults keep track of how many times I say a certain word in the service. And that keeps their attention focused on the sermon. And so the word this week is water. I want you to open your Bible. Man, get excited about the word of God. It is the first John you'll find in your Bible. I got to Butler, I believe it was, and stopped and got gas, and I set my phone up on my motorcycle to play the Bible, and I listened to the entire book of John coming through Kansas City last night, and God, I about had an anointed service right there on the back of the bike, and that could be dangerous, but God kept me safe, amen. But John chapter 1, beginning in verse number 26. When I heard this last night, it just leaped out at me, and I've chewed on it all day. It says, John told me, and I praise you for your power. I thank you and I praise you for your anointing. And Lord, I thank you for your promise, Lord. And Lord, I ask that as we prepare our hearts tonight, Lord, I want you to guide us through your word and prepare us, Lord, for this baptism service. As tonight we baptize in water so that you can baptize us in the Holy Ghost. Lord, I give you glory and I give you power in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As I began to listen to this scripture last night, I got to tell you, As I mentioned a while ago, I've been preaching for 30 years. I have baptized hundreds and hundreds of people. I may be pushing 1,000 people that I baptized in water. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look. I know in one night in South Carolina, I baptized 30 people in one night in South Carolina. And I was waterlogged when I got out of that pool. I feels like I baptized a ton of people this year. I think it was in January. We had water in the tub just about every week for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks here in January. And I love doing water baptism. I have preached water baptism this way. Somewhere in the last must be few months, John came back to life. Because I no, I've heard it. It just never clicked in here. You know, that's what the anointing of God will do. The Spirit will grab you, and I've read this Bible all the way through 15, 20, 30 times. I don't even know, probably closer to 30. I've been preaching 30 years, and just about every year, and sometimes twice, I've read this Bible through. But yet, last night on a motorcycle, riding through Missouri, I heard a verse, and I remember thinking, when did they put that in there? Where did that come from? And the truth is, the and especially Matthew's version, where Jesus comes and he says, baptize me. And John says, I can't. You should baptize me. And Jesus says, no. This version. In this version, John the Baptist is preaching and baptizing in water. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, man, I keep picking on them lately. There may be a reason for that, because you know who's going to try to keep the ebb from flowing out? You know, but they came out and they began to question John. Where'd you come from? What you doing? You got to go back and look at this. They come back in verse 1 and 19. This is John. My wife said, amen. So then, are you? You see, they come out and they were asked, who are you? Hey, I'm not the Messiah. Let me tell you something. We got too many people trying to tell us who they are. I am the great. I told you a couple weeks ago, titles make me nervous. I know I use a title. I introduce myself to most people as Pastor Tommy because I want them to understand what, number one, it cuts down on how much they cuss me out. But not only. But I get nervous when somebody comes up and says, dude, you don't have a clue. Ah! Well, we'll see that by your prophecies. Ah! We have all the big name.
Come on now.
Trying to tell us who. Is easy to say had the greatest ministry of anybody in the Bible. He said, I tell you who I am. I am a voice. I'm not a body. I'm not a person. I'm just a voice. I'm just a sound ringing out what's about to come. You see, my existence. We're still in the introduction. They wouldn't. So, if you're not who we thought we are, you were, then who do you think you are doing all that baptism stuff? Boy, you talk about things not looking like they used to look. See, Elijah, he could baptize. The Messiah, okay, yeah, he can baptize. The prophet, okay, he can baptize. But who are you? You have to... The Pharisees were saying, you have to have... Now let me tell you something. Lest you get all carried away. When God called me, he called me to be obedient to him and those over me and the Lord. And the to authority. And I have sanction from a body. And I have studied and passed my test and showed myself approved. And that is important. But I'm going to tell you, nobody ever comes by and tells me that I can or can't preach this, that, or the other. As God tells me to preach it, I preach it. Let me tell you something, church. We need to come to a place that we quit worrying about, will somebody like it? Well, what if they don't like what I say? Well, I've been here 4.5 years, and there's been plenty of things I've said y'all didn't like. I got news for you. That is a two-way street. About all y'all. Let me tell you something. We've got to get to a point. The only. Because I didn't like the way. Pharisees came and they said, well, why are you baptizing? And that's where we started reading. John says, I baptize. But right now, in the crowd, is someone you don't even recognize. Let me start this sermon here. Now I'm into the sermon. Don't give me that look. We're not even comparing my preaching to your singing, so I can preach all I want. Someone you don't recognize. Can I let somebody know here tonight that there's somebody in this crowd you don't recognize? And it's the same somebody that John talked about. It's the same somebody that becomes... Jesus, if he was here. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't have a clue who he is. Because I'm going to... I say that. I don't believe Jesus had long flowing hair and soft skin. I believe that Jesus was a construction worker before there was power tools. I believe he hung out with fishermen. I believe his hair may have been just a little nappy. I believe his hair was long. Yeah, I do believe that. I believe his beard was a little white. Yeah, I believe that. I believe that if he had he wouldn't have fit. He wouldn't have fit. Special church people should look like. We still live in a day and age. I was talking to somebody this week who was telling me that somebody had left their church because they got a new pastor and he didn't wear a tie. Well, if he can't wear a coat and tie, then he can't preach to me. Are you serious? And how in the world would Jesus have ever spoken? Maybe he hasn't. Let me tell you something. There's somebody in the crowd you don't recognize. Now, we say we would recognize Jesus, but I'm going to tell you, you wouldn't recognize him. But let me tell you something else about Jesus not being recognized. See, in this room, young ladies like this. I watched her worship tonight. Sold out. Jesus, right down here. We look at her, we just see a teenage girl. We don't recognize that Jesus is guiding her life. We don't even recognize that Jesus is there. We don't recognize that Jesus is all over person after person after person after person. We see their faults. We are a church family. Church family. I hate that term. Church family. Why would you hate a church family, Pastor? Because I can tell you what's wrong with family. We know each other's faults. See, I know that if I said what was in my brain right now to share about my family, I'd be in trouble. So I ain't going to share it. I know. I know the good things and the bad things. And because we're a church family and we come from a small town in Missouri, very few people can walk through the door without somebody going, I know what they did. Let's go one step further. I'm not taking a poll, but most of you would know the answer to this when I tell you, when I say it.
About half of you have been in two or more churches together.
Well, I know what they did at that other church. And we've all left that church and we've come to this church, and in time we've left that church and went to that church. I'll tell you something. We know each other so well that when we come in the door, anymore, and we wind up coming in and going to church service after church service, and we never recognize that there's somebody here that's living in our hearts. Our worship becomes about each other. Our worship becomes about a show. Becomes about a talent parade. Our worship becomes about I'll go stand Church, when are we going to recognize that church is not here for church people? I'm going to mess some of you up. Church is not here for sinners either. We're here to glorify God. See, in the midst of this crowd is somebody we haven't recognized. Somebody needs to be shouting. He said, right here in the crowd is somebody you don't recognize. Though his Let me tell you about this person we haven't recognized. I'm not worthy to speak when he's in the room. But you understand what John was saying. John has disciples. Crowds come out to see him. Crowds come out to follow him. Crowds want to know what's going on. John. In faith. And John says, you got to understand, there's somebody out there that I'm not even worthy to be their slave. See, when we don't recognize who's here, and we don't recognize who is in other people's lives, we forget that we're not worthy in ourselves to stand in their presence. John says, you come out here, I can baptize you in water all day long. I can keep you in the water. But there's another one out there. And I'm not worthy to be his slave.
I'm not worthy to untie his shoes.
He needs to be teaching me.
I look around with the benefit of time and history, and I see people that I didn't recognize. I see people who were in parts of my ministry, and I taught them, and I preached to them, and I poured my life into them, and I ministered to them. And now, as time has gone on, I've seen the anointing rise up in them, and their ministries in many ways have greatly exceeded what I've done. And I think, man, I'm not even worthy. You know why? Because God said, I need you for this season. I want you to understand, this I'm not worthy line is not, number one, it's not just some fake little humble line. Well, I'm not worthy, but I ain't sitting down either. I know a lot of people that are full of pride that talk about how humble they are. I mean, humility is my number one thing. I'm the best at being humble of anybody. Now, if you think about that for a second, you realize that that's an oxymoron. I know a lot of people that brag on their humility. Get over it. Get over yourself. Neither. No, this is John saying, listen, I know what I've been called to do. My calling is to be a voice in the wilderness. But my calling is for a season. What he's about to do is going to be for eternity. You see, I'm not worthy. I don't want to take the attention on me just because I'm going to baptize you with water. The anointing in the Holy Ghost. He says, I'm not even worthy to buckle his sandals. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God. He existed long before 31. But I did not recognize him. Pastor, you've already preached that. No. I preached that you didn't recognize him. John told the Pharisees and told the temple leaders, there's one in the crowd you don't recognize. And then when Jesus came up, he goes, man, I didn't recognize him. I did not recognize that he was the Messiah. You got to understand, John knew Jesus. It was his cousin. John knew Jesus. John had to have heard. You need to clean your room up. Because Aunt Mary and baby Jesus is coming over. Why do I have to have little Jesus running around? He's younger than I am. He's always wanting to play with my toys. Oh, John, when I was pregnant with you, Aunt Mary came to visit. And when she told me that she was going to give birth to a boy, you jumped inside of my belly. And you were filled with the Holy Ghost before you were ever born, as soon as you heard that baby Jesus was coming. Now we love baby Jesus because we know he's special. John had no heard that story. But here he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And as he's telling the story, he says, oh, you don't understand. I knew who he was, but I didn't recognize who he was. I knew. I'm talking about some people you've written off.
Y'all don't want to hear this.
I'm talking about those people we were talking about a while ago that we all know. Well, I remember, I've said this forever. In a town like this, eventually, the guy that cheated your daddy out of his business is going to walk in the door of the church. And you're going to say, well, God can't use him. Or the person that you used to work for that fired you is going to walk in. Let's just get real. Can I get real? The person you got in a fight with at the last church is going to show up at this church. Come on. Let's let the rubber hit the road. And you're going to go, well, I ain't messing with that no more. But what you don't do is you don't recognize that there is a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords, and there is a Messiah that is living in them and wants to bring a ministry out of their heart. I've come by here to tell you, when I read this verse and I realized that from John's gospel, John the Baptist is telling the story, and he fesses up and says, I knew him. You ever met somebody and you knew them? Oh, I know them. And you can't think who they are. And then all of a sudden, they do something. And you go, oh, that's who that is. I know who they are. Maybe it's the way they laugh. Maybe it's the way they eat. Maybe it's the way they walk. You know you saw that guy, but you can't place who he is, but he keeps going. And I know. My best impersonation I do right there, the Corey walk. Let me tell you something. You may think you know somebody's past, but you don't recognize who's in their heart. You think you may know somebody's weakness, but you don't recognize who's anointing them to do something great. John says, I didn't recognize him as the Messiah. I didn't see it. But look at this. He says, but... And I got to read this before I go to the next slide. Hang on. I didn't recognize him as Messiah. But listen to the rest of this verse. This blows my mind that I've never seen this before. But I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel. I've never seen that verse. I didn't recognize him as the Messiah. Here's what John was saying. But from the time I started baptizing people in water, it was never about the people. I was baptizing water so that the Messiah could be revealed to Israel. I got it all right. You may be getting a little bit, but I don't think anybody's got it because we ain't running the aisles yet. I've been baptizing. My minute, I am going to be known. He's known as John. Yes, I made that word up, baptized it. He was on. But I never caught until I read this verse, until I heard it on the bike last night. Never caught
why he baptized people.
Now, think about it. John baptized people before baptism, but before the fulfillment of the picture had been done. Jesus had not been buried and risen again. He was baptizing people before Jesus was baptized. Why? When I baptize people, I tell them, look, you're being baptized because you knew something Jesus did. You're baptized because Jesus said we should be baptized. You're baptized as a symbolic. You know, I've been baptizing people so that he would be revealed to Israel. He said, I understood before I ever met him, before I ever recognized who he was, that God gave me one job. And God may have told him, you're going to be John the Baptist from now on. You're going to be the king of life. What happens when Jesus is baptized? We're going to talk about the descending dove and all that stuff in just a second. When Jesus came out of the water, where'd he go? He went into the wilderness for 40 days of fasting. He was tempted by the devil. When he came out of the wilderness, he came out of the wilderness with anointing and power and miracles, and he walked into his ministry. He was no longer a carpenter, but now he was a rabbi. Now he was a teacher. Now he was the one who was saving the lost. He was the one who was opening blinded eyes and causing the lame to walk and raising the dead from the grave. You know why all that happened? Because somewhere John the Baptist. I didn't recognize him, but God said, if I keep baptizing, he would be revealed to Israel. Church, when God called me, I knew God made me different. That was obvious at a young age. But I didn't want to be a preacher. I didn't want to do all that stuff. But when God called me, I never understood it. But what he's told me, if you'll do what I called you to do, you will reveal me to America. You'll reveal me to the world. All I got to do is do what God called me to do, and I will reveal him. John says, I baptized so that he could be revealed to Israel. So then he goes on. Then John testified, I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me the one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one that will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Am I the only one getting this? Here John goes again. Oh, I baptized him, and I saw the Spirit descending like a dove and resting on him. I didn't know it was him. I didn't know it was him. But God, and the Spirit's going to descend on them, and that's the one that's going to baptize in the Holy Spirit. Do you realize this is a whole nother conversation, a whole nother prophecy that I have never noticed in the Bible? And if you've noticed it, I'm glad I could catch up. I never saw John's call in the Bible. John was just out there doing his thing. This verse is John's call. God spoke to him and said, you go baptize people. Because one of them is going to have a spirit descend on them. And when you see the Spirit descend on them, that's the one that's going to baptize in the Holy Spirit. John was baptizing not to dunk people in the water. He was baptizing to wait for the Spirit. He would look. He didn't know it was him when he got in the water. He didn't know it was him. Oh, but then he saw that Spirit come down. Church, let me tell you something. Sometimes you don't know that's who it is. But all of a sudden, you begin to do the ministry God's called you to do, and you begin to reach out into their life, and all of a sudden the Spirit descends, and you go, what? It's them. Had a young man, Greenwood, South Carolina, by the name of Nathan Hughes. Nathan Hughes is now a pastor in Greenwood, South Carolina. Nathan had muscular dystrophy. He didn't have sclerosis. He had muscular dystrophy, and he had a hard time walking. He had an anointing on his life. That was back when we were having our revival, and he would go pray for people, and I had to send two catchers with him. Somebody to catch the person he was praying for, and somebody to catch him, because he couldn't barely stand up. So no joke, he had a catcher that caught people he prayed for, and somebody stood behind him to catch him. And he was powerful. I'm going to tell you, if you didn't want to spend some floor time, you didn't let him pray for you. There was just something about that boy. He laid his hand on you, you was going down. And he had never been baptized in water because, Pastor, it's hard for me to get in and out of the baptistry. I said, I'll tell you what, that church, we had a door that closed over it. I said, I'll baptize you last. We'll get you into the pool, we'll baptize you. We'll shut that door, and if we have to carry you out of the pool, we'll carry you out of the pool. And so he comes up. That's the night I baptized like 30 kids that night. I mean, had two kids came out of the water filled with the Holy Ghost for the first time, speaking in tongues when they came out of the water. Had one kid I baptized. They had to carry him out of the thing. An hour later, he was still laying in the classroom, soaking wet, seeking God. Powerful stuff. The Spirit was moving in that water. I mean, you talk about the waters being troubled. That water was troubled. We get to Nathan, and I look up and I went, Nathan, and I turned to my two guys. I had two guys in the pool to help me with him so he wouldn't fall. And I said, whatever you do, don't let him touch you. His water's anointed. He stepped in that water. He's like, I take that boy, I pray a prayer over him, and I dunked him in the water. He goes down like this. He comes up like this, both hands, and hits both of the guys that were helping. Wham! And they go, he's stumbling around in that baptistry. I spun behind him. I kid you not. You can ask Beth, she was there. I grabbed him around. I'm going to tell you, when I baptized that young man, the Spirit descended on him. There was an anointing on him. And I shared when I started this, that anointing was the anointing of a pastor. And now, 21 years later, he is pastoring a church. He's pastored through some hard times in his personal life, but he's never given up. You know why? Because God's Spirit lives. I didn't recognize him when Nathan came in the water. I didn't recognize what God had in store for him. I didn't recognize who Nathan was. So John finishes. John finishes. And he says this. I saw this happen. So I that Jesus, let me back up. I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God. I baptize in water. But there's one that's coming after me that'll baptize in fire and the Holy Ghost. I saw what God did when I baptized Jesus. All my baptisms were about getting to Jesus. And now I can tell you, he's the one. I'm going to tell you something. Tonight we're going to baptize several. We're going to baptize several kids tonight. Two or three young ones. We may not recognize them yet. We may not recognize them yet. But I know what Jesus does. I know how Jesus moves. And even if I recognize them or I don't, we're going to baptize some adults tonight. And we may not recognize who they are either. Because I'm going to tell you, Jesus has a call and an anointing on every person. You may not be John the Baptist, but you may be Carol the Cupcake. What in the world are you talking? You may have an anointing to make cupcakes and give to people. You may not be John the Baptist. You may be Wanda Sandpaper. And you got an anointing to knock the rough edges off everybody you meet. That's an anointing. To do it with the smile and the heart and the passion that she does, without anger, it's an anointing. I don't know what your anointing is, but I'm going to tell you to do it. Do it as much as you can so that you can reveal him to your world. That's what it's about. If God's given you the ministry to sing, sing to reveal God. If it's preach, preach to reveal God. If it's act, act to reveal God. If it's hospitality, be hospitable. If it's giving, give to reveal God. Whatever God has put into your life, you tonight we're going to baptize in water. When we baptize in water, it is a preparation for ministry. When John baptized Jesus, he made the way for Jesus to baptize others. Jesus needed to be baptized in water so he could baptize in fire. Yes. He needed to baptize in water so he could do the ministry that God had called him to do. That's why we're here. That's what we're called to do. I want to see what God has in my life. And I want to see God revealed in your life. That is what I want to recognize tonight. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your power, for your anointing, for your peace, and for your mercy. And Lord, I ask that as we move into your presence, Lord, I pray that you would send your anointing. Lord, I want you, and some of these that we baptize tonight, some of them, I want you to give them a call. Lord, some of them, I want you to confirm their call. But Lord, in all of them, I want you to be revealed for your power, your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.